And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Coronavirus cases among children are increasing. That's according to the American Academy of Pediatrics. A new study by the ADA found that cases have increased at a faster rate among children and teenagers than among the rest of us in the general public. So as schools open across the country, there are new concerns about this virus spreading in class. Locally, Holy Cross High School in Covington had to close temporarily due to a student testing positive for COVID-19. And dozens of students in the Lebanon City Schools District were quarantined after some students there tested positive for the coronavirus. So let's talk about what's going on with kids and how contact tracing is playing a role in preventing further spread. Joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about it is the Warren County Health District Commissioner, Dwayne Stansberry. Dwayne, thank you so much for being with us today.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
It's our pleasure to have you. So let's just start by what you're seeing still at this point in the Lebanon City schools. I think some of the references we made are at least a week old at this point.
That's correct. We were able to quarantine, as you mentioned, the close contacts of the couple of cases that we saw at the beginning of the school, and have been able to basically prevent the spread to other students within the school district. So as of right now, it appears that the quarantine has effectively stopped other cases from occurring in the school.
Dwayne, would you mind giving us a bit of an understanding of what the process is when the Warren County Health District receives word that a student in the school district has tested positive?
Right. What we've been able to do is we've worked with our school systems here in the county, as has happened in many counties, over the summer to prepare how we would handle positive cases, and then how we, because we're going to have to work together with the school systems, because they have the seating charts, they know what classes students are in, what classes the teachers are in, and so working with them has been the plan that we have worked on for the last 3 months over the summer with their schools. So when a student or even an employee of the school system is tested positive, that report comes to the local health department. We immediately contact the school system, and sometimes that either that employee or the parents of that student will contact the school as well. And we say, okay, we have this person has been tested positive. Who have they been contact with in the school system within that 6 foot for 15 minutes or more to where they have been potentially exposed to COVID? And so we can then quarantine them and then follow up and check with them on a daily basis of whether they are begin to experience any of the signs, symptoms of COVID, to where then they would go get tested to see whether they have COVID. But the whole design is there's that ring around the person that has tested positive. Let's get that ring of people out of the school and quarantine them back in their homes, and then follow them for the next 14 days and see whether they develop signs and symptoms and potentially the disease itself.
Did you find any more positive cases from that review?
At this point, we have not. So they were, you know, potentially they were effectively wearing masks and you know, I know that the schools worked on spreading their desk out as much as possible in every classroom. They didn't always get to that 6 foot or more, but you know, they went from where, you know, in the days when I was in school, where our desks were just far enough apart for me to walk down the aisle to get to my desk, to where they spread them out. In a lot of cases, it's close to 5 foot, maybe not quite 6 foot. So again, that helps as well, and so hopefully that has prevented the spread to these other students that were potentially exposed.
And we're talking now with Warren County Health District Commissioner Dwayne Stansberry. Dwayne, when we talk about, it looks like the peak of the quarantine being 49 students, that's obviously an odd number. So I would imagine that the review that you undergo when looking at the students who may have come into contact with someone who is positive is pretty thorough to reach such a specific number. Can you talk about that process more specifically?
Absolutely. And understand that there's a difference depending on where you're at in the school system. The kids that are in elementary school typically will stay in the same classroom with the same group of kids the entire school day. So there it's going to be a little bit easier that they would potentially there would just be, again, that ring around them that are the potential exposure kids. And so you could have maybe only 4 to 6 kids that were potentially exposed in that setting. As you move up the educational system into junior high school and especially into high school, then the student moves to different classrooms during each period, and that the students that they are in class with can change and does change based off of every class that they go to, and even who they sit beside can change. They may have some of the same kids in the same class, but they may not sit next to them in the next class or the class after that. So that's how we go from potentially, in elementary school, 4 to 6 potentially exposures to, as you said, in the high school, up to, 40, 50 kids that potentially could be exposed because of transitioning from one classroom to the next throughout the whole school day.
Dwayne, what has the response been from families that the health department in Warren County has had to contact? I guess there would be a certain level of fear, maybe even some frustration when they're asked to quarantine.
There certainly, obviously the biggest fear is the fear of the unknown. Certainly, luckily many parents have learned over the last 6 months that, what happens during a pandemic and what some of the barriers are to prevent the spread of COVID are. But still, when it comes home to either A, your child has now tested positive, or B, your child was now sitting and exposed to somebody in the class. So it's a new reality for them that hey, now it's really come home to me, and I really want to ask a lot of questions. And so they've certainly called us, and we always contact them, because if you're isolated because you have the disease or if you're quarantined, we still make contact with every one of those cases and all of those people that are being quarantined to go over all the details of what that means, whether you're isolated or quarantined, and what you can do, what you need to do, and then how you eventually move out of your isolation or out of quarantine, and try to answer all the questions that the parents have for us. And they with the school systems, the schools all have nurses that work for them. A number of the schools here in Warren County, the school districts, have added another nurse or two to help with the contact tracing, to help answer questions. Again, we're working with those school nurses daily to make sure they stay informed as well. And it's getting as much information to those parents as we can to help them understand what this means and what their next steps are.
Dwayne, when we talk about process again, agencies like yours, health agencies, police agencies, schools, and the media as well, tend to be quite protective of details related to underage citizens. So what type of information can we expect the community at large to learn about the cases that might emerge and the quarantining that might be underway and the contact tracing that follows?
Right now, what you should expect to hear is that there was a case in the school X, and that a number of students, there were this many positive cases and potentially this many people that have been put onto quarantine to prevent the spread of the disease throughout the rest of that school. But you are absolutely correct. We do protect the names of whether it's a student or an employee of the school system, just like any other case that we have seen over the last 6 months. We do not give out those names because we all have those privacy rights of our health information, and we don't want to violate that right that each of us has. And, I wouldn't want my children's name to be spread across the media or the community because they came down with this case, because knowing that specific child doesn't change what you need to do as a parent of a child that has been exposed, or if you're the parent of that child that is sick, it doesn't really change that just knowing that name. You just need to isolate or quarantine your child, and then again, the local health department and the school districts will help you to understand what that means and what you need to do, and so that additional information shouldn't prevent you or help you to do anything better. Certainly, as you know, if you haven't been contacted by the health department, that should mean that your student hasn't been exposed. And know that the schools are, when they have those positive cases, they're going in and doing that deep sanitation of that classroom or classrooms, depending on how many there are that student went to, again, prevent the spread to any other student as best they can. And so they should feel safe that going back, continuing to go to school doesn't expose them to any other higher risk than it does to go to the grocery store, to go to any other business in our community, because we know that there are cases in our community of COVID, and we continue to, isolate and quarantine those folks as well.
We're talking with Warren County Health District Commissioner Dwayne Stansberry, and coming up, we're going to be joined by a doctor who recently wrote a researched paper, COVID-19 Transmission and Children, the Child is Not to Blame. That's next. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with Warren County District Health Commissioner Dwayne Stansberry. Dwayne, thanks so much for staying with us.
My pleasure.
And we're also joined on Zoom now to talk about the role that youth play or don't play in the spread of COVID by University of Vermont Larner College of Medicine pediatric infectious disease specialist, Dr. William Roska Jr. Dr. Roska, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I'm glad that you're here because one of the most controversial topics related to COVID, particularly in America, is about schools and the role that kids play in the spread, whether they play a role or not, of COVID-19. And you've got this very interesting paper that was published, and it seems to cite that children are not to blame in the transmission of this novel coronavirus. Well, what can you tell us about what you found?
So this was a commentary on a household contact tracing study that was done in Switzerland, where 39 children under the age of 16 were identified with COVID-19. And the investigators tried to figure out where they had gotten this infection and whether they had transmitted the disease to members of the household. And they found that over 90% of the time that the children had gotten the disease from household members, that they were not transmitting it. And that was really consistent with all the other household transmission data that had been presented so far, China and other countries. And it was also consistent with the early school-based experiences during the early part of the pandemic, that children weren't really transmitting disease at the onset of the pandemic in school. And we said, well, children don't seem to be the real drivers of this pandemic. It's really adults congregating together, transmitting the disease, that seem to be the real drivers.
And so in most of the cases that were evaluated and what you commented on, these were kids that more often than not received the virus through a transmission from an adult rather than the other way around?
That is correct.
So what do we glean from that as we examine public policy related to COVID-19?
Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of data published since then. And I think very generally that children are less infectious than adults. I think of that as a continuum, though, that I think that young children, even though they may have virus in the nose, don't seem to transmit the disease quite as easily as adults do for a variety of reasons. Could be they just can't cough as hard. They just don't have as much tidal volume. They breathe air in and out. But as you get older, as you move through the teen years and older teen, young college students, they're much closer to adults. So I always say that there's no biologic difference at 10 and 11 years of age, but that as you get older, you're probably more likely to transmit the virus more similarly to adults.
So we've noticed, Dr. Roska, that some governors in their regular media briefings to the public about the status of COVID-19 in their respective states are now including more data related to what we might call underage cases, and they are seeing an uptick. I know that Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear is including this every day, noting the number of kids in the state that go day to day in contracting the virus. Some are very, very young, not even a year old. So what do we make of that type of information? Is there a way that we're supposed to digest that? Is that data important for us to consume each day?
So people are being barraged by data. You know, we only have 9 months of experience with this virus, and we don't really know a lot of things about it. But clearly, over the past 6 weeks or so, there have been an increasing proportion of children diagnosed with COVID-19. And the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Children's Hospital Association publish something every week. And you can see the proportion continues to rise. So right now, about 9.5% of all infections in the United States are in children that are classified as children, pediatrics, and that may be 0 to 17, 0 to 19, depending on the state. There are a variety of reasons why that can be. One is that early in the pandemic, we were just testing the most symptomatic children, and children tend to have milder symptoms than adults do. So we underreported early on. But again, as we're doing more testing, more capacity, we're testing more and more people, we're finding more children that are infected. I would say, however, that the data from the American Academy of Pediatrics and others would suggest that the bulk of the new infections are actually in the 10 to 19 group rather than the 0 to 9 group. And that sort of makes sense, just that the older teens are congregated. They've been isolated. They're just depressed. They want to be together. They're congregated with older, you know, teens. There's going to be transmission there.
That's Dr. William Roska. He is from the University of Vermont Lerner College of Medicine, where he's a pediatric infectious disease specialist. And we're also joined on the phone by Warren County Health District Commissioner Dwayne Stansberry. And Dwayne, I'm wondering about your role in your agency hearing this information from Dr. Roska. I mean, we've heard so much different information. As Dr. Roska notes, we're bombarded with data and we're only 9 months into any familiarity at all with COVID-19. How have you had to process this type of information where maybe over the course of the 9 months, we've had some conflicting data, some conflicting analysis, some conflicting information, and execute any type of policy now that kids are at least inching back to school?
Right. I think we've tried to use as much data as we can to make informed decisions about what we do as we reopen schools. And I know that, you know, we had seen some of that data coming in from Europe on, just as was discussed, from there appears to be a difference from the 0 to 10 from versus the 10 to 19 being more infectious. And while as we begin to understand and see that data continue to come in, then that will help us to inform to how we would maybe enhance or change what we're doing in the school systems here in Warren County and across the United States to help better protect children. And if that continues to hold true as we open up schools, that we would be able to, you know, enhance how we implement our school systems and isolation and quarantine and social distancing in the school systems based on as more and more science comes in, making those informed decisions.
Dr. Roska, Dwayne Stansberry's county has students in the school buildings. I want to read a little bit of what you co-wrote in the commentary that we referenced moments ago. Quote, almost 6 months into the pandemic, accumulating evidence and collective experience argue that children, particularly school-aged children, are far less important drivers of SARS-CoV-2 transmission than adults. Therefore, serious consideration should be paid towards strategies that allow schools to remain open even during periods of COVID-19 spread. There is a growing position that it is the right thing to do to put kids into school. Tell us why you support that.
Well, I think children need to be in school. It's really essential for their social, emotional, academic, physical development, and it helps address inequities across society. And I think in the absence of school, that we're going to see widening disparities between children. Children are going to be absolutely left behind. So I fundamentally believe that children need to be in school. I think that we can do lots of different things to make a school a really safe environment. Part of what we need to do is make sure the prevalence rate in the community is low. As best we can, we need to keep that low because schools cannot be fully isolated from the community. They're part of the community. But then we can also do strategies within schools and as we just alluded to, different things. So whether you do physical distancing, masking, pod-based learning, staggered start and stop times, avoiding congregation in indoor spaces such as cafeterias or gymnasiums. Those are all things that minimize risk of transmission. And when you have put those into place, the data at least at Western Europe, where there are low prevalence rates, the data is really actually quite reassuring.
And Dwayne, let me ask you, because when I think back to being in school, I think everyone was scared of cooties, and now they've got a real virus to be afraid of. And I'm curious, is there any effort underway to reduce any possible stigma? I mean, kids are going to know which kids tested positive. Is there any effort to mitigate any type of social fallout that could accompany that?
I know that the schools are certainly trying to do that, and we can try to help them with that. We know that, you know, we've seen for years that, you know, we'll see whether it's the flu that can sometimes get entered into a school, and we'll see a number of flu cases spread throughout a school, or even more recently we've seen pertussis, whooping cough, that has also done similar things, which is also a highly contagious disease, that somebody comes into the school with that, and we see it start spreading, and that's, again, we would work with the schools to isolate those students and quarantine those students out of the school, because we know how quickly that can spread through a school. And I think that it really boils down to working with the teachers and the parents and letting them know that this is not something that is unusual. It's nothing. You just need to educate yourself about what the risks are to understand how the disease works. And then you can understand that it's as you said at the beginning, it's not the child's fault that they get COVID-19 or that they get the flu or they get the whooping cough, and that the schools are working with us to try to stop that spread in the school system.
Dwayne Stansberry is the commissioner of the Warren County Health District, and Dr. William Roska Jr. is from the University of Vermont Larner College of Medicine, where he is a pediatric infectious disease specialist. Thanks to both of you for the time and the conversation you gave us today.
My pleasure.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.